tonight, a man accused of the IRA's Hyde Park bombing is not to be prosecuted because he received a guarantee he'd avoid court.
This was a critical part of the peace deal that has brought Northern Ireland from horror and evil to peace and hope. And the idea that it could be unravelled in his case was astonishing to me.
Former Secretary of State Peter Hain, we have the details, we have reaction from the families and the politicians.
Now today, Seamus, we're in the Royal Courts of Justice, and the reason we're here is because last Friday the judge ruled that John Durney should not face trial and gave the prosecution until today to decide whether or not to appeal. Now just a few moments ago, Brian Altman QC, the barrister for the prosecution, spoke of the pain felt by the families of the four soldiers who were killed and what he called a brutal attack on the armed forces. He then said that the Attorney General and the Crown Prosecution Service stand by the decision to bring the prosecution because it was the right thing to do. But he said there would be no appeal. He stressed they would not be appealing the judge's decision. Now the judge, Mr. Justice Sweeney, then said the prosecution was stayed. In other words, John Durney will not stand trial for the Hyde Park bombing.
One of the soldiers who died was Lieutenant Anthony Daly, who was in the Blues and Royals. Here's his brother Chris.
It never goes away, and I think that's the same for all the families. It is always there. And every time, you know, you get stabbed to the heart, and it is cuts you to the core. And, you know, people's fathers, husbands, sons, brothers, they've all been taken away too early and with no justification. As the years go by, you know, life doesn't stop, the world goes round, and people, you know, what would they want you to do? They wouldn't want you to just, you know, continue to look into yourself. You need to continue living for the living, really. However, there would be occasions when the situation would be raised again, and when McNamee was arrested. I know that my mother wrote to Prime Minister, you know, disagreeing with the principles of the Good Friday Agreement, and, you know, the Prime Minister's office did reply back to her. And the families were very very close. I mean, to begin with, there is a memorial, obviously, where the bomb exploded in South Carriage Drive. And on the anniversary, they would come together. And my mother was very strong about keeping in touch, Christmas cards and things like that. Nowadays, that memorial takes place after the Calvary Memorial Sunday in May. So there isn't such a... Because also, in trying to move on, in trying to, every time you go to the actual spot, it makes it difficult. It never gets any easier. And obviously, in this recent situation with Downey, the families did all come together. And, you know, there is a very strong bond in that shared grief. And also, there's a very strong bond in seeking somebody to be held to account for their past actions.
When you came into office as Secretary of State, did you ask to see this list?
Certainly I was briefed on this scheme. And
Where did you see the names?
Not the individual names, no.
Right.
And I think it would have been very unlikely.
Why didn't you ask to see individual names? Why didn't you ask that a check be done, now that you were in charge, to make absolutely sure that these were watertight cases?
Well, actually, I mean, the Northern Ireland office, the judge concluded very clearly, actually checked with the PS&I in Mr. Downey's case, and the PS&I confirmed that all appropriate checks had been concluded. I'm afraid it wasn't within the Northern Ireland office that the mistake was made.
Do you believe the police have let down the families?
I'm afraid the police have fallen below the standards that they set themselves. It was a very serious mistake, and that is the reason why the judge has made his decision.
And have they let the families down?
It was a serious mistake, and I think it's very important that it's properly investigated so we know how it happened, why it happened, and that we can take every possible step to ensure that it doesn't happen again.
And are you going through the list that's available to you now to make sure that checks and double checks are done?
Yes, that has started already. And
when did that start?
We started it just in the last few days. We were advised that to start that process while the trial was ongoing might potentially prejudice proceedings, so it has only just started.
So how are you going to ensure that this can't happen again?
Well, we will be checking very carefully all the letters that were sent, but I welcome the fact that the police have announced that there will be an investigation on how the mistake occurred within the PSNI.
It's a bit late now if you're just checking letters that have been sent. If they're sent, that's it. There's nothing you can do, is there?
It would be very important to ensure that we check for mistakes, because if there is a mistake, we would want to correct it immediately to avoid this kind of case from occurring again in the future.
This has been a shambles, hasn't it?
Unionists have called for the government to revisit the case of John Downey, the man charged with the Hyde Park bombing in 1982. A judge has decided that he won't stand trial because of a secret letter sent by the government to Sinn Féin. DUP MLA Arlene Foster said the case should be reviewed.
We would really appeal to the government, to the Westminster government, to say to them, have a look at this again, see if there's any possible way this man can be brought to justice and go through the proper route, which of course is the justice system and through the courts.
Kenny Donaldson of Innocent Victims United, an umbrella group of 21 victims' organisations. Mr Donaldson, I believe the news broke yesterday during the Dealing with the Past conference in Belfast. What was the reaction there?
That's right, Karen. I suppose I was sitting with a number of direct victims just as the information was coming through on the mobile, and have to say, you know, there was considerable shock. Revulsion wouldn't be too strong a word, and indeed a degree of anger. And obviously there were a number of questions which people couldn't answer at that point. So I suppose what we would want to say first and foremost, though, Karen, that our thoughts are with the families of the Hyde Park bombing, because today they are going to feel very much betrayed. They're going to feel very let down, very hurt. And to be honest, these letters amount to escape justice letters. That's what they are.
Mr Justice Sweeney's decision that the public interest in making state officials keep their promises outweighs the public interest in a trial being held. How do you read that?
Well, to be honest, and you know, it's not a word I like to use, but really what we have politics bastardised in the criminal justice process.
Who signed these letters?
Well, various people signed them, but they were high-ranking members of the British government.
Like the Secretary of State, the ministers, or was it high-ranking officials?
They were high-ranking officials.
Officials, as opposed to ministers.
But you can be guaranteed, if the officials signed them, that the minister accepted it.
And what about people who had perhaps taken a different path to that which Sinn Féin were taking? Were you helpful and open-minded to them, or did they fall by the wayside?
Well, again, let me give the process again. This affected people up to the date of the signing of the Good Friday Agreement, so pre the 10th of April 1998. If anybody came to us saying, I think I might be on the run and I want this checked out, then we give that to the British, and they did that. And they described how they did it to us by doing exactly what I said earlier. They went through all the police forces and did a check on their files, and then come back with whatever answer they came back with, mm-hmm. might be, which could have been, well, we're still looking at it, or, you know, some of these, this wasn't an overnight process. It could be in for years.
So how come they were still coming to you in 2012 then? I mean, I know you, rather like a government department, can't deal with individual cases, but who got the last letter?
Well, I don't know who got the last letter.
So you don't know who they went to?
Well, if you're asking me, can I name 187 people.
No, I was just wondering about the last one, because you said that the last one had been issued in 2012.
Well, let me put it another way to you, Wendy. Even if I knew who it was, I wouldn't tell you.
We're in a position now to hear what Peter Robinson's been telling our political editor, Mark Devenport. Here he is.
I and those around me were incandescent with rage, absolutely furious that this has been going on without us being informed about it, without having any knowledge of what was going on. And that would be bad enough, because most of this did take place during the period when the Ulster Unionist Party were the main party in Northern Ireland. Most of it is around 2000, 2001, 2002, and on into 2003. But there are aspects of it which have gone on beyond the time when we set up the new administration here in 2007. And indeed, I am informed, right up to 2012, this has been going on, the processing of these matters. I am furious. I know David Ford is furious about it, because none of us were informed. And I have to say, quite frankly, I am not prepared to be the First Minister of a government that is kept in the dark on matters which are relevant, very relevant to what we are doing. I've spent the last number of months dealing with the Haas talks. The Haas talks were about getting justice for people who had had no justice for the terrorist acts that had been carried about against them or their families. Now we find out that they never would get justice because there are people going around with letters stuffed in their pockets which said that even if somebody fingers you, you're not going to jail. That is an outrage, I think, in any democratic state.
When you say you're not prepared to be the First Minister of an administration being kept in the dark about this, what are you saying? Is your job now on the line?
Well, it's only on the line to the extent that I have indicated that I am not prepared to be kept in the dark by Her Majesty's government in London about matters which are relevant to Northern Ireland. That means I want a full judicial inquiry into all of these matters so that we can see who knew, when they knew, and what they knew.
The administrative scheme for OTRs has been devolved to Northern Ireland. Is it now part of your department?
Well, it is most certainly not part of the Department of Justice. The first I became aware of the scheme was after the court decision, shortly before it became public. And it's not anything which was ever introduced to me, either before, at the point of, or since devolution, until the outcome of the court case last Friday. I have seen references in briefing notes from the Northern Ireland office, which, when it referred to the devolved authorities, referred to the police and the public prosecution service. But these are issues which need to be cleared up, and that's why I'll be seeing the Secretary of State first thing tomorrow morning, because she may wish to dump the responsibility for the scheme on her predecessors in the Labour Party, and clearly they were the people who set it up. But she cannot dump responsibility onto the Department of Justice for something which the Department of Justice has no knowledge of and nothing to do with.
So just to be absolutely crystal clear here, when she said that it was decided that it was better for any future cases to be referred to the devolved authority, that ain't you.
I think she said devolved authorities, and she didn't spell out what she meant by that, but it most certainly is not the Department of Justice.
So who is it then?
Well, as I say, I've seen in briefing papers which are referred to the police service and the public prosecution service as devolved authorities.
The Attorney General, maybe?
Indeed, I believe, and I noticed that the statement in the House of Commons after Prime Minister's question time was being made by the Attorney General for England and Wales.
So have you spoken to John Larkin at all?
Well, I have not spoken to John Larkin because I do not believe that John Larkin has been involved, but clearly this is the kind of issue which needs to be checked up on. But what is clear is that when the Secretary of State says it was agreed to, she appears to be talking about internal discussions within the NIO or possibly within other Westminster government departments. It is not anything which has involved the Department of Justice or, as you've heard from Peter Robinson, the Office of First Minister and Deputy First Minister. Mm.
Is it any wonder he's calling for an inquiry when you have a process that has continued after devolution? The Justice Department knew nothing about it. The Policing Board don't appear to have known anything about it. Maybe you can clear that up. With what devolved institutions and with whom was this being sorted out so that the scheme continued?
Well, the reason why we had Richard Haas and Megan O'Sullivan here in the first place...
No, just answer that question.
Seamus, I am answering the question.
But is it any wonder he's calling for an inquiry, given what I've just pointed out to you?
Let me answer the question that you've asked me.
Right.
The very reason that Richard Haas and Megan O'Sullivan were invited in by Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness is because the five parties in the executive failed to reach an agreement as to how to tackle the past. So Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness invited two people in because we couldn't solve it. So the devolved institutions here couldn't solve it since 1998, 1999, or even since when Peter and Martin, or Peter and Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness, we reformed
the institutions. When you were on the policing board,
Well, the point I'm making is I don't accept that Peter's right in setting that as a reason The parties here failed.
All right, I'll come back to you on the policing board. Arlene Foster, okay. Jonathan Powell, the former chief of staff for Tony Blair, wrote in his book about a meeting in 2004 he had with Peter Robinson and Nigel Dodds. And according to Jonathan Powell, they said at that time they could accept the implementation of the unpopular undertakings we'd made under the joint declaration on OTRs as long as Tony Blair wrote to Ian Paisley, making it clear the concessions had been agreed on David Trimble's watch, not theirs. We sent the letter, says Jonathan Powell, and they later used it as an effective political weapon against Trimble. What was that but a letter of comfort?
Well, first of all, we don't accept Jonathan Powell's interpretation of that meeting. I want to make that very clear, because he then goes on to talk about the joint declaration and its reference to on the runs.
No, were you at
and
the
of course,
meeting?
No, but let me say this. He talks about the joint declaration and on the
no,
runs.
But he says,
and of course,
he says that
the on the runs.
That
no, hold on a
attend,
second, Shame.
He said they
Seamus,
accept the
context,
implementation of the undertakings
of,
we'd made.
The context of, if you're going to quote from Jonathan Powell's book,
well, he was at the meeting.
Let's have the whole quote from Jonathan Powell's meeting when
well,
he talks
I've read
about
exactly what he said.
Yes, what did he say about the joint declaration?
Well, you said the unpopular undertakings we had made under the joint declaration on
yes.
OTRs.
Well, if you look at the joint declaration, and I hope your listeners will Google the joint declaration of April 2003, and they will look at it and see where there is a reference to OTRs, because of course there is no reference to OTRs in the joint declaration of April 2003, and that completely undermines what Jonathan Powell is talking about. But let me go back to this issue about Haas, because I think it is an important point. And we hear Alex Maskey talking about Haas and the fact that we need to deal this with the past and how there's been a failure to deal with the past. Haas has been based on deceit. Deceit. We did not know that these number of people were given get-out-of-jail-free cards. How can you possibly go into a process to talk about the past when people have been given a get-out-of-free-jail card?
Which authorities in Northern Ireland is it devolved to?
Well, it's a matter for those who wish to raise new cases to determine where they send them to. As I've said, the Department of Justice is clear that they want nothing to do with this scheme.
So where do they send them?
It's a matter for them. As far as I'm concerned, the Northern Ireland Office is no longer dealing with this scheme.
Well, is the Public Prosecution Service dealing with it here? Is it the PSNI that they're now approaching?
You will have to ask those who are seeking to raise new cases. I'm not aware of new cases having been raised recently.
Right. The Chief Constable told the Policing Board this week that 6 cases are active at present. These, I understand, are cases in which investigations were suspended when John Downey was arrested last May. Will those investigations resume? Will those cases go live again?
Well, certainly the Northern Ireland Office won't be taking action on those cases. This government looked at 38 cases, 5 of which there wasn't any eventual conclusion. Those, remain to be determined, but it's not something that the UK government is planning to look at or undertake further investigations in.
So it's up to the PSNI, is it, to clarify whether these cases will go live again?
I think certainly the judge-led review may well want to consider what should be done with those 5 remaining cases, or potentially 6, it's not entirely clear how many there are. But I've been clear today that the UK government and the Northern Ireland Office won't be issuing any more letters in relation to this scheme.
And did you have any legal basis for telling Sinn Féin that it was being, or that they should in future direct it to the authorities here? Because we would have thought that the Irish government and Sinn Féin would all have had to agree that.
My predecessor wrote to Gerry Adams letting him know that this was the position. It was up to Sinn Féin if they wanted to continue to pursue further cases. We believe that it wasn't appropriate to take on new cases.
So unilaterally you decided it would stop. I mean, was it at that stage devolved to Northern Ireland?
There wasn't a sort of formal devolution decision. It was, as I've said, a decision was taken that it wouldn't be appropriate to accept new cases.
Shouldn't the whole scheme have been devolved to the Justice Minister? Shouldn't it have been handed over to the Justice Minister once policing and justice was devolved?
I certainly regret that the Justice Minister wasn't briefed about the scheme when devolution took place.
No, that's not quite the same. Shouldn't it have been devolved? Shouldn't it have been transferred to his department? Shouldn't he have been given control over it?
That is an arguable point.